Court is now in session. It's Sports and Courts with Justice for Jacksonville attorney Brett Hastings.
Brett Hastings is here from JusticeForJacksonville.com. Ready for the game? Ready for the games?
All the games, yeah. Excited, ready. I was hoping the stuffing was going to be in here. Where is the stuffing?
We've begged, pleaded, groveled. Got no stuffing.
We have a worse dad than Martineau and Blue. His name is Hastings. Yeah. Promised his kids all year to take him to the Florida State Florida game.
Right.
Pulled out here in the 11th hour. That's being a bad dad.
I mean, Martineau's taking his kids and getting them drunk. I mean, I think that's a good plan.
Do you think there'll be any legal ramifications of that?
They're all kinds.
They're 10. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you.
Doing real well.
Good to have you in here. Brett, as you know, is the proprietor of JusticeForJacksonville.com. And I wanted to get you in here because I don't understand the DraftKings FanDuel thing. Here's what I know. They're one-day fantasy companies, and they make $8 quadrillion a minute. And now they may have to shut it down because some states don't want them participating. That's what I got.
Right.
Am I close?
You're pretty close. And, you know, one of the things is we see all the debates right now and the presidential elections. And one of the big things that we talk about are states' rights and, you know, what's the involvement of our federal government and, you know, what things should we be able to decide at the state level. And there really is a lot of difference from state to state. You know, as a general rule, I'd say that most of the laws are similar from state to state. But when it comes to gambling and these types of things, and whenever you look at any specific law, it tends to vary. But if you sort of step back and look at the big picture, the key is daily fantasy sports, right? Because as a general rule, fantasy sports have been all right, okay? And the reason why is that the big sort of thing that matters is something a game of skill or something a game of chance. Because as a general rule, for most states, you have to have three things, right, to be illegal gambling. You have to have consideration, which is just a fancy legal word for money. There's got to be something of value. There has to be a reward. You have to have an opportunity to get back more than what you're putting in. And then the last thing is that it can't be solely for chance. And so as a general rule, you know, the NFL feels good about it, right? Fantasy football, everybody's cozied up. All those things are great because the idea of sitting around with some guys, drafting players, having it go through 16 weeks, pick guys on buys, injuries, all those types of things, you say, okay, that's pretty far out there on the continuum of skill. Well, what happens when you start saying pick two guys or three guys on one day and lay a grand and get money back? You know, is that that much different from a parlay? Is that like picking a horse? What's going on? So what had happened was, all of this, especially when it involves computers, the law is really, really slow to react.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I think you've seen happen here is that, like, if you go way back to just sort of the starts of fantasy sports, and I read there's a guy, Mark Edelman, wrote a really cool legal article that just kind of went over the overall history of stuff, and I read it. And I didn't know where rotisserie leagues come from? Mm-mm. It's a bunch of group of guys who would meet in a deli in New York.
That's
when
that
was how it started. And
really?
It was the rotisserie.
I always wondered.
And it started out, you know, as a rotisserie. And so I didn't know that. But the funny thing was, this all started not that long ago. And the one thing that totally shocked me to come in here, I went, looked back, you know, I'm familiar with our state statute, and I tried to want to find some other opinions. And what's really crazy is there is a attorney general opinion in the state of Florida, Bob Butterworth did in 1991, where somebody asked him, hey, if I come in and we have eight guys and they put up $100 and they do a fantasy league draft, and he explains the way it works, the way every fantasy league that everyone out there, myself included, and probably everybody in this room is in, and there is an attorney general advisory opinion in the state of Florida that says that's illegal gambling. Now, is anybody going to come prosecute you? No. Do I think currently the attorney general would have this take? No. Right now, they're trying to put bills in front of the legislature in Tallahassee. That's happened in the last couple of days that would clarify this. But what I think you're going to see come out of this is you're obviously still, they're going to be daily fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be there. It may not be in every state, okay? And there may be some, you know, levels of sophistication as to how they do that and, you know, broadcast on the internet and make sure that they don't become available to people there. I think you're going to be able to do it in Florida, but I think what's going on right now is they're really a little bit too aggressive. One, two players, pick it on the day, that type of stuff. It's got to be a lot closer to being like a regular fantasy football league, you know, i.e. picking seven, eight players, and maybe they just facilitate. And one of the things that you'd see in the law is that going against the House, per se, has been a problem in some of the opinions around the country, whereas they could probably make the money. Okay, what happens when we make bets? They want to even out the bets. That's why lines move, because they're getting their juice, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to get a percentage of it. So if somebody bets $1 billion and you get 10% of $1 billion, that's a ton, right? So you want to facilitate this flow of money. And so that's the one thing, too, that I think you see, is that maybe they'll make it more. You go in there and you compete against other people as opposed to the House.
You know, I've always taken the other side. A decade or so ago, I used to bet all the time. And, you know, I keep hearing about skill and chance. And skill is for fantasy. Chance is picking a side or a team or a total. And I totally disagree with that, because I put hours and hours of research and thought studying trends and looking at numbers and looking at injury reports and everything that I can to come up with the perfect bet, whether it's the under, the over, the side, and certainly wise guys in Las Vegas do that. I really have always had a difficult time deciding how can they say fantasy is skill and betting on a game is chance.
Well, what's funny is it's completely and totally subjective, so it comes down to these courts. You know, and one of the things that's really interesting in analyzing state law, you know, we've talked in here about legalization of marijuana, which would probably be close to gambling. You have some people who have very strong beliefs as it relates, right? But the reality is, you know, a group of judges deciding in Alabama are going to be different from a group of judges deciding in San Francisco, California.
Yeah.
Because part of it's a reflection of the mores and the other stuff are there. Picking games, okay, if you break it down just to the bare bones, Gorgeous Borges could come in here and pick somebody on the color of their uniforms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Rick could crunch numbers all night long in the Blue Sports Bar and come in, and she's got as good a chance as you. Okay?
Right. Especially you.
Yeah. Maybe a better chance. Right. Yeah.
So I like your gumption. I like your analysis, but – you know, that's kind of the way they parse it out in the cases, from the skill and the chance thing. I mean, really, it would probably be better to say it's almost like dominoes. It's like you got to make decision upon decision upon decision upon decision upon decision. You got to run the gambit, you know? And so, but at the same token, you know, that's what you do in the old, you know, I mean, where's most betting happening?
Pool halls. Well, online now.
And college campuses.
Yeah.
That's where I saw the most betting. In my life, that's where guys came out in the College of Journalism at the University of Florida.
No doubt.
There were sheets that went down on each of the days, and they went out and they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is the internet makes it easy. Okay? Right. I didn't used to play fantasy football because who's counting this stuff up and doing it? Okay?
Right. You're right.
Now that it's on your phone and you can sit there and look, I didn't even know I won this week.
Right.
I gave up and I went back only to see that I had won after. It's the only time I didn't follow my phone all the time. But here's what's really interesting that I found in getting ready to come in here today is I didn't know that the NBA has a stake in one of the biggest ones.
Oh,
A lot of the professional sport leagues are equity investors in these. And, you know,
ESPN.
Yeah,
correct.
I think Bob Kraft is.
Yeah.
And NBC.
Jerry Jones is.
NBC and Comcast are on the other side. I can't remember who was, you know, who was FanDuel and who was DraftKings. But they didn't just get into that without doing a lot of analysis and thinking they're feeling good about it. So I think we've got some attorney generals trying to make their names, and it's going to be a little bit chaotic for a while.
All right. Look into the crystal ball. Where do you see this thing landing, Brett? This huge debate about whether these one-day fantasy leagues are illegal gambling or not. Where is there a compromise of sorts coming? Because you're right. The lobbies on either side are pretty significant.
Right.
Where does it land?
I don't see a lot in the way of federal regulation taking place and they're trying to shut it down. I see it being a state-by-state issue.
Okay.
I see most of your, you know, New York's a little bit more chaotic on this, you know, a little bit surprising on some of the stances they take up there. I think in Florida, it's going to be resolved in favor of being able, you know, to do those things. As a general rule, I think it's going to be available. I think the majority of the states will fall in line with that. But I think the other side is that there will be some places that it may not be allowed.
We see we have you in around March Madness time. We talk about the pools. And remember, that used to be a big deal. It felt like, you know, you couldn't even talk about it.
Right,
and now
right.
everybody talks about it. And I think we're getting closer and closer to legalizing gambling in a lot of different places. That's just my thought. What do you think happens first? And I've kind of I've polled people on this question of, before this stuff even came out, what happens first? We go do away with this fantasy, which I kind of think is gambling, or gambling becomes legal. And you just said state to state, so I'll say in the state of Florida. What do you think happens first? We do away with fantasy, daily fantasy stuff that we're talking about, or do you see a day where gambling in general on sports is legalized?
You know, I think there's going to be a day where it would be legalized, but it wouldn't be as, you know, it's still going to be highly restricted, you know, not to be a cynic. But I think that what the government worries primarily about is ways to generate revenue and to tax, okay? And there was, it used to be really tough. How do you get your hands around these guys? It was a cash business. It was all those other types of things. Whereas the one thing with electronic transactions, they're really easy to monitor. They're really easy to ascertain. And so one of the things that I think the state of Florida looks at in this, oh, yeah, we're going to make this legal, but we're going to do it in such a way as that we can go ahead and tax what we see as a pretty large business. I mean, you know, we've had all these philosophical debates about, like, marijuana. Well, they're still waiting to see how profitable is this in Colorado, and a lot of people aren't doing it one way or the other. So if it doesn't seem like the mafia is moving in down the street and they think they can go out and raise $100 and $150 million, they'll do it. This is, I don't know if this is true, but I saw one thing that said daily fantasy sports right now was at $30 billion.
I believe that.
Oh, yeah, I believe
it. I mean, I was blown away by that number. So,
well, that's why they got everybody's attention.
That's why they got everybody's attention.
Funny
money.
Right, but think about a small tax on that and what it does. You know, no politician will sit down with you and say, hey, this is why we would do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is why they would do it.
All right, we've got almost out of time, about a minute left with you. We didn't get these in here. Florida, Georgia was too crazy. This is a holiday weekend. It's a crazy holiday weekend with checkpoints and all that stuff. You're the best in the business at giving advice to people who can't wait to get going tonight, okay?
Right.
Give them some advice on whatnot. We know not to drink and drive, but please, go through your...
Well, I still do the old school, $20 in the shoe and Uber. Start there, in there, because you don't want to go through the process or do anything else. If you are stopped, you always be courteous to an officer. But I would, you know, frankly, probably refuse to do everything. There are stiff sanctions for that, potentially. And the reasons are that if you refuse to submit to a sobriety examination, you can lose your license for a year.
Right.
But there's been a lot of problems with the breathalyzer. There's been a lot of problems with those tests. And more likely than not, without having some of that evidence, it's going to be really tough to prosecute you. But at the end of the day, just don't get in the car. It's not worth it. Right. You know, Uber, call a taxi company, do something.
20 seconds. Has the advent of Uber and the other one, whatever it's called, reduced DUIs? Is there any stats available?
No.
No, it hasn't?
No. Drunk people still make poor decisions, okay? And so, regretfully, you know, I mean, I'm sure it has helped to a certain extent.
But the numbers aren't down.
The numbers aren't down.
Well, Brett Hastings, great work as always from the law firm of justiceforjacksonville.com.